leading us this morning. Ken and Gaylene, a few moments ago, read about peace this morning. When you hear the word peace, what comes to mind? I think I know, right? That's the first thing I think about, peace, man. You know, something like that. That might be an age thing. Someone flashed me a peace sign up here, so that's why I said that. Well, maybe when someone says the word peace, is it possible we think of a song? Again, you may be a certain generation, but let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. That's a song, right? Right. Or maybe this time of year we think of, right. Sleep in heavenly peace. Or for some of you, perhaps more red folks, not red color, but red like a book, you would think of a book by Tolstoy called War and Peace. That's right. Maybe it's the marking on a headstone in a cemetery, which says R.I.P., rest in peace. Or maybe you think about the cry of mothers and fathers everywhere when their kids are running around and shouting and crying and laughing and boisterous while parents are trying to get them to calm down. All I want is a little peace and quiet. Or how about these words? When someone says the word peace, how about this word? Wholeness. Or oneness. Or unity. Or completion. Or good news. Are those words we think of when we hear the word peace? Usually not. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, he wrote about peace when he wrote the letter we call the book of Ephesians. And in that book, the Apostle Paul speaks directly to the idea of peace because we often long for peace. Here's the thing. Peace that Jesus gives, which we're looking at this morning, has always been something independent of outward circumstances. Peace that we're talking about this morning that Jesus gives has always been something independent of outward circumstances. It's not dependent on our surrounding situations. And on this last Sunday of Advent, we ask, can we hope for such a peace? How do we find peace in the midst of chaos and confusion? Peace that the Bible speaks of, the biblical words that are actually used to describe peace mean to join, to become one out of that which was separated. I think I read that on the seal of the United States. I think it says E pluribus unum. Don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Out of the many, one. Out of the many, one. Peace is a sense of completeness or wholeness. In spite of our usual way of defining peace as the absence of something, like the absence of noise or the absence of war or the absence of stress, never in the Bible is our peace meant as the absence of trouble or hardship or distress. Rather, it speaks of it in positive terms, not in absence of negative circumstances. There's actually a neat verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that's a good example of defining that. It's not specifically talking about peace, but defining that idea of peace not being the absence of negative circumstances. It says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." It doesn't say the people walking in darkness, suddenly the darkness went away and everything was good. It says, even as they were walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. So again, peace isn't the absence biblically of a negative like war or in the case of this verse, darkness. Rather, it's a presence of something positive, something bringing wholeness and fulfillment in the case of this verse, light. So, in the midst of uncertainty in our lives, maybe brought on by things like, I don't know, a relationship that's not going well, Maybe in the midst of uncertainty brought up by things like a relationship that's not going well, hurt feelings, strife, maybe words that have been exchanged that you wish you hadn't said. So in the midst of uncertainty brought on because you had plans for your future and those plans have been radically altered through maybe a loss, maybe of a job or a loved one or a relationship, or simply the plans you have had going forward being changed. So in the midst of uncertainty brought on by financial difficulties, so in the midst of uncertainty brought on by personal health diagnosis or sickness or injury, so in the midst of uncertainty brought on by emotional struggles, anxiety or depression, can the hope of Christmas really deliver peace? Let's see just for a few minutes. There were shepherds staying in the fields, we read, as we do each year at the Christmas story, guarding their flocks of sheep. You'll recognize these verses from last week when we shared something different about this. Suddenly, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," or in highest heaven, "and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. 2,000 years ago, maybe approximately, might be off by a few years, an angel announced the birth of Jesus. And that angel was joined by a lot of other angels. And they ended their visitation with the words, "And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace on earth. Those are beautiful words. Those are words we'd all love to have be true in our lives and the lives of those around us. The angels announced peace on earth, but those words haven't stopped conditions quite the opposite from happening. I mean, what could those words possibly mean in a world where wars and terrorism and genocide have been a fact of life before and after the birth of Jesus when those words were spoken? And this morning, again, just for a few moments that we have together, I'd like us just to consider, perhaps be reminded what those words, peace on earth, actually and really mean. To see if we can better understand the truth that was spoken on that incredible night so long ago. In that time when Jesus was born, the Roman Empire claimed that its rule had brought peace to the world. The Roman Empire, of all empires, declared that they had brought peace to the world. Now, the Jews of that time didn't think too much of this great peace because it was a peace built on terror, on intimidation, and military force. It was a peace that required all the resources of the great Roman army to maintain, and for most people who were alive at that time, it was anything but peaceful. Just the fact that people constantly wanted to be rid of the terror of Roman rule indicates that it was something that was imposed on them, not something they felt and enjoyed. You know, the weird thing is, that's what happens today, too. In more places than we know or would like to know. Many people today also believe that real peace can only exist under some type of military force or superiority. But real peace can't be imposed. True peace can't be imposed. It can't be forced on people or on a nation. I mean, just look at the turmoil around the world right now because of that very thing. So what on earth were those angels talking about when they said, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased? Peace on earth, goodwill to people. Is it possible? Well, the thing that encourages me, and the reason I would even be here this morning, is that the answer is yes. It is possible. But many people in this world will never experience that true, lasting, freeing peace and goodwill to people that the angels spoke of. That true peace is only known to a minority of the world's population, in spite of the fact that it's available to everyone. You see, that peace spoken of by those angels comes only to those who follow the one who is called the Prince of Peace, Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, we find Jesus. There's a scenario there, an account of Jesus is together with his disciples, and they're gathered together in a room, and Jesus is further along, quite a ways along from his birth, but they're in this room together, and Jesus knows that the cross is ahead for him, and knowing that his upcoming death was for real, see what Jesus says. He says to them in that room, knowing he was going to die, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's a peace that Jesus offers, but it's one that's far different from anything that this world has to offer or even understand. What does that peace look like that Jesus gives? Well, it's not a cabin in the mountains. It's not a peaceful little cottage by the ocean away from all the troubles and problems of the world. It's not a life where problems are minor and everything turns out rosy. It's not the promise of long life and good health, job security, and the sun's always shining. Peace isn't simply the absence of conflict. It's so much more than that. Not doing a Greek lesson. I'm just saying the Greek word translated peace literally means unity. The Greek word translated for peace in the Bible actually means unity. Unity that comes through restored relationship and oneness with God. You see, Jesus knew true peace in the middle of all the stuff he had to deal with, and it came from his relationship and oneness with his Father. Jesus was willingly obedient to God's will, and that's where unity and oneness came from. That's where he found peace. It came from knowing there was nothing that separated him from his relationship with his Heavenly Father. And when we come into a relationship, when we come into a walk with Jesus, we can have the same peace, the exact same peace that Jesus experienced. And the great thing about this peace is that it's something that nobody can take away from us. It's internal. And by internal, I mean it's something found in the core of your being. It's almost hard to describe. It's not just some head thing. Now, you know, you can have peace of mind. You know, you hear people, oh, you don't have peace of mind. We can have peace of mind when there's absence of conflict or everything seems calm. But when your spirit is resting in him, you will be able to experience peace that isn't dependent on outward circumstances. We can have peace in the middle of the worst storms that life can bring us. Patty and I know a family who lost their only two children in a car accident on the 401 several years ago. Now, some of you here this morning know them too. Absolutely devastating time. Terrible. When their world literally came crashing in on them, there was still a peace from God that helped to sustain them. When people would say, how can you do it? How can you be so strong? They would say, we can't. It's not us. It's only because of God's peace in their very being that they could even go on living after that. It doesn't mean they weren't broken. They were. but they had the peace of God that actually surpasses our understanding. They had the peace of God that comes from a relationship with Him. In the middle of a whole bunch of stuff going on, we can still say, everything will be okay. God will take care of me. Because the peace that Jesus gives isn't determined by outside forces, by outside circumstances. Peace is the result of a walk with Jesus, Jesus living in my heart. Peace is the assurance that I am safe in His hands no matter what might be going on around me. Peace is trust in the middle of turmoil. Jesus had peace even as He faced the rejection of the crowds and a torture of a cross. He had a relationship with God, His Father, that gave Him the peace and strength to face whatever came His way. That's the power of the peace that's available to you and to me in a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But this peace that comes from a relationship with Jesus has another very important aspect. It's relational. It functions with those around us. Peace is a personal, internal thing, but it's also expressed in how we relate to each other. And only the peace that Jesus gives will enable us to relate compassionately with other people. Doesn't mean we don't get upset or sometimes respond inappropriately at times. But it better mean that we correct ourselves when we do. It should mean that even if we do get upset, we still have the love of God in our hearts for each other and for those who haven't yet become part of God's family. And it's what we need so much in this world. We need the kind of peace that will build bridges of understanding and compassion. It's what's needed to restore broken relationships and to bring reconciliation and healing. I mean, we need this in our families. We need this in our churches, in every other facet of society. But how do we do that? How do we find the peace on earth and goodwill toward each other? Well, at the heart of it is forgiveness. I mean, isn't that what Jesus based His teaching of peace on? Being forgiven of our sins and made right with God? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the world today is full of unforgiveness. It's why troops are sent into parts of the world, because warring factions are unable to forgive the horrible things that have been done and let peace take priority, first in their hearts and then in their actions. But we don't have to go to other parts of the world to find problems with unforgiveness. We could probably find many instances of it a lot closer to home, couldn't we? Forgiveness of sins is the basis of the peace that Jesus gives. And without that forgiveness, you and I cannot experience true peace. Once we ask for and accept God's forgiveness, then we can. And yeah, all that was wrapped up in the meaning of the peace spoken of by the angel that night. The angels came to announce the coming of the one who would restore relationships and bring peace by gaining for us the forgiveness we all need in order to be right with God. That's what this is all about. It's what it's all about. But it gets a little trickier, because Jesus said something else. He said, "Freely you have received, freely give." See, we can receive forgiveness, and then we're called to extend that same forgiveness to those who've wronged us. Because when we don't forgive, we can't truly have peace. I mean, think about it. When you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, and I'm just going to take a wild guess that maybe someone has heard of that in this room, or when you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, it gnaws at you. It chews at you. And you play that offense and how you'd like to respond over and over again in your mind. And it messes you up. True peace allows you to turn that over completely to Him, to forgive and get back to how you should be living. Freely you've received, freely give. And Maybe you're here this morning and you need that peace in your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never found peace with God through a relationship with Jesus. Maybe there are broken relationships or unforgiveness or resentment or hurts and disappointment. You see, Jesus came in order to allow the peace of God to take away those chains that hold us to those things and to set us free. Maybe you need to ask Him today to give you that peace, to ask for and receive His forgiveness and ask Him to deal with that turmoil you've been experiencing. You can do that right where you are, right now. Just ask Him. Just talk to Him. We can put everything into God's hands and let the peace of God actually rule in our hearts. It's in the Bible. Funny thing, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule. Rule. That's the big one, you know, when you rule, you're ruling. All that other stuff. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called. If you claim to be a Christ follower this morning, you are called to peace and be thankful. Maybe you're here today and you just need to be reminded. You just need to be reminded that the peace you enjoy needs to be shared with others. Freely you've received. Now, freely give. There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word that tells us that we can have peace, your peace, in spite of outside circumstances, stuff that's going on in our lives, stuff that's visited upon us by others, stuff that we've created situations because of our own actions or words or whatever it is. Thank you that you offer us and you call us to this peace that you give. It's impossible on our own. We cannot manufacture it. We cannot organize our worlds to be calm and free from all of those things that bring stress and bring dissension. But Jesus, you offer peace. You came that we might know this peace. And so I pray we would know it. I mean, we're coming up to Christmas, isn't it? Like just a few days away. This is your season. And so, Lord, you're bringing us this gift. The gift of yourself, the gift of your peace, the gift of your joy, the gift of your love, the gift of hope, all those things we've talked about through this Advent season. God, I pray we would reach out to you, that we would call out to you, that we would accept this gift that you offer us. Thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.